We're doing Maharal Netivot Olam. The Maharal had begun with a pasuk, Be'orach Tzedakah Chayim. In the broad path of charity, there's life. V'derech Netiva, and if you go on the thin path, Al Mavet, then you're above death. Correct. And the Maharal had explained that the charity one does in one's life, it brings life. You're giving life to the poor, and so too Hashem gives life to the one who gives. And derech netiva, when a person holds on to an accurate path in life, so then he so to speak, he's above death. That's another idea that his impact will continue in this world. He continues, he lives on, so to speak. The Maharal went on to explain that with regards to tzedakah, to charity, the verse used the word orach, which means a broad path. Because within charity, there's breadth. You don't have to go down one path. On the contrary, the path is very broad, and there's plenty of room to the right and to the left. How one is going to be charitable. There's no one path of charity. However, when the pasuk spoke about justice, when the pasuk spoke about doing what's right, there the pasuk spoke about nitiv, a lane, a very specific path. Because when it comes to being just and correct, being a little bit off is being off. There's a specific truth, and that's what you have to attain. A little bit of a lie is a lie. Truth is truth. And that's why it's called netiva, derech netiva. The specific path, when it comes to justice, there's there's a narrow path. And that's when a person can overcome death, because one has to retain that balance to retain the specific narrow path. Ve'od nikra tzedaka orach. And charity is also called the broad path. Many people are charitable. Charity is something that's accessible to the masses. That's why the Torah describes the broad path of charity, there's life. It's a broad path. Many people walk down that path. And later on we will explain, says the Maharal, why humans are predisposed to doing charity. We are created as charitable beings. It's something that every person can connect to. So too we find the verse, Be'orach tzedakah, you find again that with regards to tzedakah, to charity, the term that's used is orach, a broad path, because the masses go down that path. But when we speak about mishpat, when we speak about justice, being just, being honest, there the Navi, the Pasuk and Mishle uses the term nativ, a narrow lane, because to be just, that requires being truthful. And man is not predisposed to being truthful. That, says the Maharal, we will expand on later on. We are predisposed to being charitable. We are not predisposed to being truthful. That requires a lot of work. The pasuk says, Derech netiva. Derech means you go down the netiva, down that lane. And going down that lane means standing up to temptation. That's why it's called derech. You're going down the netiva, the lane. Because you have to be actively pursuing that lane. There's temptation all the time to veer off that lane. And not many go down that lane. And that's why we will learn that is what overcomes death. And so too King Solomon explained elsewhere that a person should be careful not to veer off the path of honesty. That's the path that's called Orach Chayim. The pasuk says, Nofet titofna siftei zara. The lips of the foreign woman they drip with sweetness. V'chalak mishemen chika, and her speech is smoother than oil. Acharita, even though initially her seduction is sweet, ultimately she leads to mara chelana, more bitter than the bitter grass called laana. Chada kecherev piot, she is more painful than a double-edged knife. Raglea yoredot mavet, her footsteps lead to death. Sheol tzadea yitmochu, and those who pursue her, they find themselves in the grave. Shlomo HaMelech warns the person and says, Orach chayim pen tefales, na'uma gelotea lo teda. And he will explain that pasuk. Orach chayim. A person has to try and go down the path of life, because the path that she leads a person down is a path that he doesn't know really where it's taking him. V'ratza lomar, what King Solomon was instructing us in these verses, which are pretty near the beginning of Mishlei. Ha'isha zara u'achomer. Who is Shlomo referring to, that seductive woman? He's talking about our materialistic, hedonistic tendencies. Nikra isha kmo she'be'arnu b'chol makom. He refers to it as the woman, and that's because very often that's the most materialistic pull that a person experiences in their life. V'kara ha'chomer hara isha zara. When we speak about something materialistic that is evil to a person, he calls that the foreign woman. When one is in pursuit of materialism in a bad way, so that leads a person to inappropriate or even evil behavior. But when we speak about the materialistic world, not everything's bad. Some of it's good. And that's what's called Eshet Chayil. When we speak about Eshet Chayil mi yimtza, that woman of valor, who can find her? That's talking about that balance, taking the materialistic world and making it something worthwhile. Uval chomer ra, yetzer shebo mefateh oto sheilech achar tavato. So when we speak about the foreign woman, we're talking about the seduction that invites a person to openly pursue their hedonistic desires. V'zehu, and that's why the pasuk says, "Nofet titof nasiftei zara." The pasuk said, "The lips of this foreign woman are dripping with sweetness." Ki ayetzer hara mefateh oto. One's inclination is seductive and tells him, "Shalom yielach af ki ta'aseh davar zeh." The greatest mistake people make when they pursue things that are wrong is they tell themselves, it's going to be all right. I don't know if you've experienced this yet, but one of the answers that teenagers often say is, that's okay. And that's what a person keeps telling himself, that's okay. In other words, nothing bad will happen. You try telling a teenager, don't play with matches. I thought I taught you that when you were 5 years old. And the kid says, that's okay. And you say, what do you mean that's okay? You're going to play with matches in your bedroom and you can't even control what can happen then. And the kid goes, that's okay. What does that mean, that's okay? That means in his mind, he doesn't want to imagine that something bad can happen from the foolish things he's doing. You tell him, don't ride a bike without a helmet. You tell him, don't drive a car after you've drank. And what does the kid say? That's okay. And you look at him and say, what do you mean that's okay? And the kid says, everything's going to be all right. Why are you so uptight, Dad? Why am I so uptight? Who told you everything's going to be all right? So the truth is, what we see so blatantly in a teenager is what really goes on within us in a more sophisticated way. When we do things that are wrong, so we convince ourselves, that's okay. We're the same teenager, only in our own realm. And so that's what the Maharal writes. When the pasuk says, her lips drip with sweetness, that's reminding us of what goes on within ourselves when we're faced with challenges. We tell ourselves, it's okay, so I'll cheat on my taxes. No. What do you mean, no? What's the big deal? Which is another way of saying it doesn't matter, which is another way of saying everything's going to be all right. No, that's the mistake we make. the Amal, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech warns us. As Rav Saadia Gaon writes in his introduction to Mishlei, he says you can summarize the whole book with one idea. The book of Mishlei is telling you, take a look at the outcome of your behavior. If you only think about where things will lead, that's the message of the whole book. The whole book plays it out for you and gives you different examples. The truth is, it's very difficult for us to see. The child that rats on his classmate, he goes to the teacher and says, Chaim's eating in class. Does he realize that in a week, Chaim won't be his friend? He's going to do this to Chaim, he's going to do it to Beryl, he's going to do it to Yankel. Pretty soon, no one's going to like him. Does he understand the outcome of what he's going to do? By the same token, we do foolish things, socially, legally. The warning of Mishlei plays it out for us in over 30 chapters of where does it lead one. Shlomo HaMelech warns us, ultimately it leads to the most bitter end. It's like the sharpest of knives. A person cuts himself off in this world and the world to come. That's why Shlomo calls it a double-edged knife. It's got two blades. He gets cut off in this world and in the world to come. And this is a theme we first met in the Rambam when we learned it, that the Rambam said, don't think the Torah's only good advice for the world to come. The Torah's good advice for this world too. Kmo sheneemar, hikaret, tikaret. That's why the Torah, when it describes a person being cut off, the Torah uses double terminology. Cut, they will be cut off. Then Shlomo HaMelech warns, her footsteps lead to death. Ki dabek beisha zot amita bishvil chomer shedavak bo haheder v'amita. Life is spirituality. In the physical world, the more we connect to spirituality, the more we're connecting to life. A person sometimes feels like this is the good life. This is living. The Torah reminds us, real life is when you could put a soul into the materialistic world you're living. Shabbat is what? Is it a physical experience? When I was a teenager, people talked about sleeping the donut. You know what the donut is? You eat the Friday night meal, you get up for Matzei Shabbos. Right? The donut, 24 hours. What are you doing? That's Shabbat? No. The guy who goes to shul and gets inspired. The guy who sits together for a Shabbos meal and has a family experience. The guy who connects to his children, who suddenly their lives are connected. They sing together. They talk together. They talk Divrei Torah. They talk about the Parsha. They'll all take their nap. But what's the experience of Shabbat? When you put spirituality into it, that's life. Says the Maharal, you want to know what death is? When the Pasuk tells you her footsteps lead to death, it's telling you when you veer off the balanced path that the Torah gives you, when one allows his temptations to take hold, so then one is actually going down a path of death. What does it mean, death? That means the focus on the materialistic. When the materialistic becomes the goal and not the tool, there a person is connecting to what the Tanakh calls death. Death only affects the physical. Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz wrote a book, The Yireim. Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz was a disciple of Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, and his brother Rashbam. So Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz was asked about praying to the dead. And he said, when the Torah prohibits praying to the dead, the Torah is talking about the body, because the soul doesn't die. So the prohibition in praying to the dead is coming to the gravesite and talking to the deceased, the dead body. However, says Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, the soul doesn't die. The soul is life. The Torah told you don't talk to the dead. The Torah didn't tell you don't talk to the living. The soul is still living. The Mechaber doesn't go. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't go with Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. He says, who would talk to a dead body? Of course they're talking to the soul. That's what the Torah means when it says, don't talk to the dead. The Rama and the Shach did go with Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. They said, no, if you're talking to the soul, that's not called talking to the dead. So without going into the halacha, the concept, we say the soul is alive. And whenever we speak about life and death, says the Maharal, when you take away the soul of the matter, you're talking about death. When you put in the soul, you're talking about life. And that's why the pasuk says, Ragleha yoredot mavet. Her feet lead to death. Raglaim hem kinuy el apchitut. Feet is the bottom part of the body. It's the part of the body that senses the least. You know, the Mishnah in Kilayim asks whether, brings opinions, whether there's even a prohibition of wearing Kilayim at the bottom of your feet. What happens if the soles of your shoes are Kilayim? We know we're not supposed to wear wool and linen together. So let's say a person buys fancy boots, and the bottom of the boot, where you put your foot down, that's made of wool and linen together. So one opinion in the Mishnah says, there's no prohibition of Kilayim there, because you have no idea what's at the bottom of your feet. You don't really benefit from it. So I had experience to see that this week. My three-year-old was walking in Park Teddy, where they have sprinkler systems there for the kids to run around. And after that, they went to the kotel. What we didn't know was that he had a nail this size that went into his foot. And the whole way down to the kotel, he's walking slowly. And we kept asking him, what's wrong? Why are you walking slowly? He said, nothing. Nothing. He didn't realize he had a nail in his foot. And we're going. Now, this is a kilometer and a half, 2 kilometers. And he keeps walking slowly. And we keep asking him, are you tired? Is something hurting you? And he's kept saying, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. And we couldn't figure out what was wrong. When we got to the kotel, so he took off his shoe. We looked and we see there's a nail. We pull out the nail and we see this size nail. And the kid didn't sense it. When he saw the blood and he saw the nail, then he started crying. Right? Until then, he kept saying, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. So that's the Mishnah in Kilayim. The Mishnah says, the bottom of your feet, you don't sense so much what's going on with the bottom of your feet, the soles of your feet. You don't have so much sense. Says the Maharal, when we say the feet lead to death, the feet are representative in the human body to the part that's least sensitive, to the part of the body which is at the bottom. The feet, the bottom. Shizenyan aregel. That's why the pasuk says her feet lead to death. It's a reference to the most bottom part of the human being. Uvitchitut achomer davik ba'amita. When a person takes the materialistic and makes it the most lowly it can be, that's where he connects to death. V'omer, and the verse says, She'ol tzadeh yitmochu, her footsteps support the grave. Klomar she'ol nivra bishvil tzadeh, she'em raglaim shela. The grave was actually created for her footsteps. Shu kinuy el p'chitut achomer. This is a reference to one who takes the materialistic and puts it down. One who is completely hedonistic in their connection to the materialistic world. The whole concept of death, says the Maharal, was created for what's materialistic. The only reason there exists death in the world is for the material. The soul doesn't die, but when one's body, when one's life connects, the more one is hedonistic and focused on the materialistic world, the more one creates a reality of being material and not spiritual. The Maharal goes into the idea of what happened with Eve and the forbidden fruit. We're going to skip over that and move on, Be'ezat Hashem, to the pasuk of Orach Chayim Pen Tefales. Go down the path of life. Go down the path of life and don't allow yourself to be drawn by the things that attract a person off the path. And a person has to remind himself that all those desires don't add up to the path he's on. That's what the Mishnah says. Calculate what you lose and what you gain. If a person would really think about it, he'd know it's a no-brainer. I'll give you a small example. You're sitting with your wife. It's Friday night. You've put the kids to sleep. And you have a few minutes to sit and talk together. You're eating a cake. You're eating a watermelon. There's one piece left. You want that peace. Think 5 minutes after you ate that piece. Your wife goes to check up on the kids, and you think it's very funny to eat that piece that when she gets back, it's gone. She gets back and goes, "Where's that piece of watermelon?" And you go, "I don't know. Didn't you eat it?" She goes, "No, I didn't." So he goes, "We must have mice in the house here." So he tries to make a joke of it, but wait a second. Real question. What did you gain? What did you lose? And if you were able to think for a minute before you ate that piece, what would be 5 minutes after you ate it? What would be accomplished if you gave it to someone else? What's accomplished when you take it for yourself? And this is true in many decisions. I gave a small example, but there are so many examples of decisions we make. And so the pasuk in Mishlei says, "Ora chayim, go down the path of life, pen tefales, lest you be drawn away from it," because every day we have moments where there are things that attract us, there are things we'd like to do. But if a person can really ask himself, is it worth it? Then really there's nothing, it's a no-brainer. The issue is, we don't want to think long-term, broad. What will I gain? What will I lose? I'll give one more example. One of the issues that people sometimes encounter is their parents. We have a gift in life. We're given parents. But sometimes this gift is a big challenge. As the halacha says in Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em, it says parents may not demand of their kids. It's as though the Shulchan Aruch gives a ruling, the kids can't live up to what they're supposed to do. That's a phenomenal halacha. The Torah commanded us in the Ten Commandments to serve our parents. Kabeid et avicha ve'et imecha. The rabbi said, when you forgive your children, then they are forgiven. Whatever you don't demand of them, they don't have to do. So the halacha tells the parent, don't be demanding. Okay? So a conversation erupts, and as often happens, you don't agree with your parents. It's not only you don't agree, you think they're completely off. And if you want to add some spices to it, they're going against your religious belief. Who says you have to argue? What will be accomplished by proving them wrong? Where will you get to by fighting it out, by arguing with them? What do you accomplish? So, if a person can think two steps forward, then a person might decide not to argue. Might decide it's not worth saying that line. Might decide it's very well worth just listening to what they have to say and moving on. Says the Maharal, that's where the Torah advised us, stick to that broad path of life. You don't want to be drawn off it. Often we are attracted. Very often we feel like going off that path, we have challenges. And one of the greater challenges we have is in our speech. We sometimes forget how speech is one of the greatest tools we have, both for positive and unfortunately for negative as well. So, says the Maharal, that's the advice the pasuk tells us, stick to the path of life. If you think of what the value of what you're doing is when you stick to that path, then it becomes easy. Ora chayim, you stick to the path, it becomes easy to say, I'm not going off my path. I'm not going to be seduced to say something I'd regret, to do something I'd regret, because if you only think of the long-term repercussions of sticking to the path, then it's a no-brainer to stay on that path.